Thank you, as always, to Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon and Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa for their presenting sponsorship of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. The red carpet sales event continues at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. Walk the red carpet for huge savings from General Manager Brian Danahy. Get a 2018 XT5 for only $359 a month, zero down, plus save up to $16,000 off all remaining 2017s or 0% financing for up to 72 months. Only at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. Click EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com and, of course, see the dealer for all the details. And in Brandon, our friends at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, you can save now on a luxurious Cadillac and get more peace of mind with their like-new certified pre-owned Cadillacs. All certified pre-owned Cadillacs are inspected, reconditioned, and warrantied. Right now, get special financing and pay thousands less than new car prices. Visit EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. And, of course, there are fantastic lease offers right there at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon on Causeway Boulevard. Thank you again, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Happy Thursday on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. We are back again. Ira, we're taping this on Valentine's Day. Did you ever pick up those lobsters for your beloved there? I know you thought that was romantic, a lobster.
Drove up yesterday, got 2 pound and a halfers. Maybe a little shrimp for shrimp cocktail. Got a baked potato going.
Baked potato.
It was a hell of a night. I'm doing this a day in advance, but it was a hell of a night. By the time these listeners are talking, romance reigns.
Well, I was going to say.
Romance reigns supreme.
I was going to say nothing says romance like a baked potato.
Read that however you want to. You know, lobster's very sensual. Now I'm looking at the
camera. Too much information.
While I'm using the word sensual over here.
Too much information.
Our listeners like to know our public lives, especially yours, Isbitz.
Public life? What do you mean? You have a camera in your bedroom?
Look, there was a movie called Tom Jones. Not the Tom Jones, but there was a movie called Tom
Jones. Which one,
Jones.
The singer or the writer?
No. It was, about some British guy in the 1800s. It was a funny movie.
I thought you meant the guy who quit his own podcast. Go ahead.
Never mind that. See, I tee it up for this guy. But anyway, it was a famous movie. It won Best Picture. Now, of course, anything before 1980, the Kemper's looking at me like, who? What?
Oh, no.
Don't know anything about it. Who's Buddy Holly? Who's this guy? What? Anyway, there's a famous movie called Tom Jones. Albert Finney played Tom Jones. Solid character actor, Albert Finney. Anyway, there was a famous scene in it. And it's an eating scene. And it is ranked as one of the sexiest scenes in cinema history. Everybody was fully clothed. But it was all about eating and the scrumptiousness of it.
Black and white?
And that's as far as I'm going to go.
Black and white?
I don't know if it was black and white.
So this
lobster's going to be right in that alley.
So this was more suggestive than Meg Ryan at Cats?
It was suggestive, and DeKemper doesn't like suggestive. He doesn't want to use his imagination.
I'm trying to think of the actor's name. I'm sorry. He's a very famous actor. Where they're rolling around in the sand in Hawaii that the censors at the time freaked out.
That was Burt Lancaster.
Yes, Burt Lancaster.
And From Here to Eternity. Yes. I'm shocked that you know that movie.
I know old movies. New movies I don't give a damn about.
You also don't know anything before 1980.
I'm lost on the Burt Lancaster stuff, Ira, on the...
You ever heard of From Here to Eternity, Steve? It's the movie that made Sinatra's comeback.
I've heard you say that's how far the Bucks have to go to win a playoff game.
So he's got an answer.
All right, look, Sage,
enough with the lobsters.
Enough with the scroll down Google lane here and the lobsters. I'm glad things went well for you, and you are the king of romance, and of course, you were able to adapt, just like Dirk Cutter, because, who has lobsters in Brooklyn? Come on.
Speaking of subterranean creatures, let's get to the Bucks over here in a couple
All right.
of minutes.
Doug Martin, you mean?
Doug Martin.
Ira, when this podcast posts Thursday, 27 days till the free agency dinner bell rings, Wednesday, March 14th at 5 o'clock, we can't wait. That means hope. Hope is officially in the air because the Bucks are going to do something. And Ira, you had your column this week, your brilliant prose, your sage wisdom.
You haven't edited it yet as we speak.
Well, you got it to me about
20
minutes before I arrived here at Hooters in Port Richey, speaking of sensual lobster. And Ira, no, seriously, you like center Ryan Jensen from the Ravens. I have a couple of issues with this guy, but tell us the crux of your column, why you want the Bucks to go out and pay top dollar for a young 26-year-old center.
Well, point one, he's 26. He's entering his prime. 6'4", 320. He's built like DeKemper. He's nasty. Now, you could be fooled by nasty because we were told that J.R. Sweezy is nasty personified, and we didn't see it. Jensen is probably going to be the most coveted center in free agency. Not that it's overwhelming in free agency centers. There's a guy on the Giants also, but I think Jensen's better. Now, let's look at the Ravens for a second. They had a lousy offense. So Buck fans are going to say, I want a center from a lousy offense. They couldn't throw the ball.
No,
Flacco's, you know, past his prime. They
no
don't
receivers.
Have any receivers.
Yeah.
But, guys, they were number 11 in rushing with a guy named Alex Collins. Alex Collins started the season on the practice squad, Lee. He ended up running for about 1,000 yards, and he averaged 4.6.
Can I hit the pause button real quick?
Go ahead.
A guy off the practice squad made Doug Martin look like chopped liver.
There you go.
Okay, hit play.
And, you know, this guy was, the center was a big part of that. I just think it makes a lot of sense. Now, here's the tough part of it. He wants to be paid, just like they all do. And the Bucs wouldn't be the only team interested if the Bucs are, in fact, interested. The Jets have $100 million, Steve. They've already been linked to Jensen. So I don't want the Bucs getting into some bidding war. But they, if they can get him for what they deem a reasonable price, Lee, I jump on this guy. I move Marpet back to right guard where he belongs, gentlemen. And I throw Sweezy into the battle at left guard. We'll see if Panfield comes back. We'll see where Benenock is or whoever they got at guard. And let Sweezy duke it out. But if they do get a center in free agency or the draft, and I don't mean a sixth-round draft pick, I'm quickly moving Marpet back to right guard. And Marpet is never going to say anything about it. He just won't do it. And in my last conversation, Steve, with them, which was in private on the day after the regular season ended, I got him alone, and he talked about his weaknesses at center. He goes, you know, I could do better snapping the ball. More importantly, he didn't think he was playing well till maybe the last month of his season, which was November. So he admitted he struggled. Lee, did you see enough out of Marpet at center to think that, in the words of Dirk Cutter, this guy is going to be a Pro Bowl center? Steve, have you seen enough out of Marpet?
I've got problems with you already, Ira.
Of course.
Because you're
with lobsters?
Not with lobsters. And I've made a note to what you just asked Lee. I'm not trying to cut it off, but you have to rewind here. Why should Bucs fans listen to you, the sage of Tampa Bay Sports, and agree that you don't want the Bucs in a bidding war for a center? Why are we afraid of the Bucs getting into a bidding war? It's not our money. If this guy is going to help this team, who cares? Look what we got with our bidding war. What did we miss out on last year? Calais Campbell, because we didn't want a bidding war?
Well, because Lee, they have other needs besides center.
They
so,
sure do.
You know, you can't spend $11 million on a center.
Absolutely.
And then they're going to say they don't have enough money to address corner, running back, and D-line. So, Steve, I understand your point. You're saying, why should the Bucs get outbid? Well, some teams have more money than the Bucs, Lee. It's just a fact. But they're in the upper, I would say, 10%, you know, 10% of the league. So spend a little guilt, my boy. Spend a little guilt.
Well, I got a couple of questions with what you said, Ira, about Allie.
Did you write anything down? Or these,
no, I don't need to write
anything. You're not like
that. I'm losing my mind. Right. Or losing it further than I already have. You talk to Allie, and number one, have you ever seen a rookie player and you just say, you know what, this guy stinks. He's a rookie. I don't care. We're moving him.
Yeah, Roberto Aguayo.
Okay. Well, Allie Marpet confessed to you that he just started playing better the last month of the season and he got hurt. So the Bucs should all of a sudden throw their hands and arms in the air and go against all their research. You know, again, Jason Light, the night he was drafted, Jason Light said he projects the center. So if he just started turning the corner when he got hurt, so the Bucs should just give up on it? Just like, okay, it's a failed project? I think that's jumping the gun.
That's his words turning the corner. What I saw in November was a team that couldn't run the ball.
And you and I guess, have a philosophical difference. I blame that on Doug Martin and Cutter's just stubbornness to keep putting a guy out there despite
now,
time
Buck,
after
Buck
time after time.
Fans are going to chew you out for being obsessive
out
on Doug Martin.
Well, give me evidence why I shouldn't be obsessive about Doug Martin. The guy was the worst running back in the league 2 years running. What am I supposed to do? Pretend it's like 2015? It's not 2015. We're now talking 2018. If Doug Martin wasn't the problem, then how come a practice squad guy comes off the bench with two starters on offense hurt? and he runs for 100 and some yards. I am in the minority, the unpopular minority, that the reason why the Bucs were 5-11 is not the offensive line. It was no running attack to speak of. It was no pass rush. It was pathetic pass defense, pathetic pass third down defense. That is why the Bucs were 5-11, not because Ali Marpet was learning a new position. But that's just me.
I want a new center, and I want Marpet back at right guard. Tell me where I'm wrong, Gizbits.
I agree with you. I don't know if that's Ryan Jensen, but I agree with you. I have some issues with Jensen. First of all, last year it was his first year at center. 2 years ago, the Ravens had a Pro Bowl center. His name was Jeremy Zuta. And so,
Buck fans are well familiar with.
Yes, they sure are. You know, Jensen played guard previously, which it's a good thing to be versatile. But, you know, he doesn't have a ton of experience at center, and I can't sit here saying that I'm an expert on the Ravens and how he plays. But if they like him, I certainly wouldn't hesitate. But
the Ravens would like to keep him, Steve. They have cap issues.
You know, it is a philosophical thing. Lee just mentioned, should the Bucs, quote, go against all their research? And frankly, I'd say, yeah, their research, in a lot of ways, they should pull a George Costanza and have an opposite day, because a lot of their research absolutely sucks.
Yes, I will do the opposite.
Do the opposite. Now, you know what? They put Marpet at guard. He was very good at guard. Logic would have said, leave the guy at guard. He's on a Pro Bowl track.
He's on a trajectory.
Right, and that's no shame. They put him there. They thought he could develop there. And you know what? Hey, he was better at guard than they thought he would be. So leave him alone.
I got a question for both of you guys, and I could be wrong about this. I was not at the owner's meeting in Arizona. I was not tormented like you with
his
driving.
That's right.
With Steve's driving. But I could have swore when one of you guys, or both of you guys, an NFL coach told you guys over a cocktail that Marpet was overrated as a right guard.
Well,
I mean, am I wrong? Did one of you guys mention it to me?
I don't remember that, no.
You might have had too much to drink that night, Steve.
Well, that's possible. That's possible.
I had one Riesling, and I have crystal clarity over there, Lee. I think the jury's out around the league a little bit about Marpet, but look. The three of us saw him play every game, 32, you know, basically. Not 32, maybe 29 starts. He got injured, I think, maybe that second year, missed a few games. Our eye test says Marpet, I don't know if you'd use the word dominant, but I thought he was on his way to being one of the top right guards in football. Not Zach Martin.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree.
Steve, one of my problems, and I said it at the time, I'm not being hypocritical here. I'm not doing 20-20. Lee, he had zero experience. I mean, zero. He didn't play it in high school.
I know. That's why I'm...
He didn't play it in college.
That's why I'm giving him slack.
So, Steve, it's totally a projection. It's not based on any film. It's totally a projection. Marpet's not going to say anything about it.
He never will.
You know, you wonder, as camp, which is a very fun-loving camp, we've seen those, you know, the cousins and the father and Marpet's people out at the tailgates, and they're fun people. you wonder what they thought when you know... When Cutter said we're switching him to center, Marpet's not going to say anything about it.
Yeah, of course he's not going to say anything, because he's getting paid either way, and he wants to be a good citizen, and he's a good teammate. But I think this comes back to when they made the change. That's how I look at it, anyway. The Bucs made this change to Marpet at center off a 9-7 season
with him at right guard,
with an offense that was pass blocking well, and he was playing well at right guard. Played all 16 games. It was unnecessary. It was gambling on a guy.
Well, they thought Hawley was undersized, and they needed to make a move at center.
Right, yes. But the move in itself was unnecessary. They could have gotten a center last year.
Yes.
So it's I don't like it. But the point
and they
is,
wanted to get Sweezy in at right guard. That's another factor.
It was a huge. Factor. It was the ultimate factor. So the Jensen thing, Ira, I know you're all for it. I have no problems with it. There's a center. I forgot his name. I've got to double check. But, you know, last year I really liked
Sullivan from the Rams.
No, in the draft, I liked the center out of Ohio State last year. I actually had been in touch with Greg Schiano on the kid last year, Elfine, who ended up slipping all the way to the third round and was drafted by the Vikings. And what do you know? He has an excellent season, starting center for the Vikings.
They had a hell of an offense.
And they had a hell of an offense.
And, by the way, to reinforce Steve's point, last 2 years Ohio State's been putting out some damn good centers.
So the guy who replaced Elfine, who was also a top guard at Ohio State, stayed in school when he could have gone out into the draft, projected as a second rounder, I believe. He stayed in school, had a good year at center. He's coming out, and he's probably going to be a second or third round pick. You know, you can find a center. And Jason Light, I trust Jason Light more
in the draft than I do in free agency. So I'd rather see them get a good center in the third round and forget about Jensen. But we'll see. It's fun.
Well, now, Lee, let's not skip over the Sweezy factor here because, you know, what do we hear? We got to get the five best guys on the field. Now, look.
Yes.
If Sweezy looked outstanding in 2017, I said if, Lee, if he looked outstanding, we're not having this conversation. I said, fine, we'll be patient with Marpet. He thinks he was getting better. Sweezy was a stud. It's not the case, Lee. It's just not the case.
Well, that's what Steve.
They wanted to get Sweezy in the worst way at right guard, and he was okay.
Oh, Steve's been paranoid about Sweezy for almost 2 years running now. So.
He wasn't that good. And he got hurt to close the season with a new injury. So, you know, the five best men on the field line was in some ways a pile of BS because we ended up with the sixth best with Evan Smith and Kevin Pamphile sharing time at left guard. I've said before on the podcast, I never want to hear another Bucks coach talk to me about continuity on the O-line because you decided on your own to skip continuity and play musical chairs at left guard.
That was in week two.
In week two. Now, Pamphile played very well. When Marpet got hurt, Smith moved over, and then all of a sudden Pamphile was full-time at left guard, and the running game got better.
And we don't know about Pamphile's future at this
point. We don't know about that. So,
Who was a free agent?
One thing I wanted to mention to you, I said it to Lee, and I think it's very telling. You know, Lee and I put in a ton of research on NFL free agents all over the league, every position, trying to figure out who might work for the Bucks, might be interesting. Personally, and I'll ask Lee if he's found otherwise, but everywhere I read, everywhere I look about free agents, I don't see anybody targeting one of the Buccaneers' free agents. He's not on anybody's radar. No one's talking about Evan Smith. No one's talking about Kevin Pamphile coming to the roster. I don't even see anybody looking at Robert McClain, who had three picks and is versatile. Brent Grimes. I'm not seeing anybody talk about Bucs free agents. The only thing I saw out there, Doug Martin. The only thing I saw was somebody talking about maybe we should make a restricted free agent play for Cameron Brate. That's the only thing I've seen. But what do you make of that?
Throw Charles Sims in that mix?
Charles Sims.
You and Charles.
No. I mean, he's in the mix. He's in the name.
He's in the mix. What do you make of that? And what do you make of this? What do you want to see happen at left guard since you want Jensen, right? So you want Jensen, then what's your answer at left guard?
You know what it is? It's very disconcerting if you're a Buck fan. That's what it means.
He's telling.
These guys played a lot in 2017. I mean, these were not fringe players. McClain, Doug Martin, Pamphile, Evan Smith. And to Steve's point, he didn't just make this up. He scours, you know, what's going on around the league, and nobody's talking about these Bucks.
And let's throw in Tandy, T.J. Ward. Continue, Ira.
Tandy, who a year ago, you know, was considered an ascending star, even though he hadn't done much until the late stages of the 2016 season.
Mm-hmm.
Who'd you mention besides Tandy just now?
T.J. Ward.
Oh, T.J. Ward, yeah. Lee, if you're a Buck fan, what do you think about the quality of the personnel on this team? Now, look.
They're 5-11 for a reason.
That doesn't mean I'm saying Quan Alexander and Lavonte David and Gerald McCoy and Jameis Winston, O.J. Howard and Chris Godwin, that they're not good players, or DeSean Jackson. But these other guys played a lot, Lee. They played a lot, yet they're not moving the meter. They're not moving the free agent meter. That's bad news.
It's bad news, but also could be good news. The Bucks might be moving on from some of these guys. Steve brought up T.J. Ward. That was a name I did see somewhere where someone threw out T.J. Ward's name with, I can't remember the team. It didn't matter to me because I consider him gone, so I don't care where he goes. But it was kind of like, you know, well, this guy's got the generic stuff. Well, he's got experience. He's been on winning teams. Didn't work out in Tampa Bay. But the only thing that was of a player moving, a Bucks player moving on, it made any sense that I saw, and Steve kind of touched upon it, was Brett Sobolinski of Bleacher Report. He had a story about the trades that make sense for every team. And I don't remember what team it was, but they said they should trade for Brate because pretty soon Bucks are not going to be able to afford both Brate and O.J. Howard. So you might as well trade for him.
Well, I'm a Brate fan, Steve. You know that. I'm a Brate fan. I love his reliability. I like him in the red zone. And while O.J. Howard is still learning the intricacies of the pro game, you know, for the next year or two, I want Cameron Brate on this roster.
I think it was a pot farming cooperative that was interested in T.J. Ward. Now that I think about it, that's where T.J. Ward's interest lies.
Might be one of your better lines of the year over there, That's going to shoot this podcast to the top of the charts.
I was being serious, Ira. All right.
The agricultural department in Colorado will enjoy it.
Exactly. So, all right. So, Ira, now look, this is what's been troubling.
Well, hold on. Any chance Baker and Water back in 2018?
No, Ira. Come on.
You know what?
I asked this a legitimate question.
Zero. Yeah, and I'm going to give you a legitimate answer. Possibly things change with Jay Hayes getting booted out of town. Maybe the powers that be with the Bucks think, well, you know what? Jay Hayes couldn't reach this clown. Maybe someone can reach him.
Maybe the next O-line coach likes Swaggy.
But I'm putting the percentage at 5% at most. Yeah, put a gun in my head. I'm throwing. He's gone. But maybe someone with the Bucks. Maybe that was part of the reason that Jay Hayes got the boot. That he obviously couldn't reach Baker. Clearly,
Steve, you feel we're at the point where Light can no longer defend Swaggy.
When did he ever defend Swaggy?
It's only been one season.
When did he ever defend Swaggy? Period. He didn't. I mean, come on, Baker is out of here. I'll agree with Lee. Since the Bucks are so bizarre, so twisted in some of their methods, that there's a small chance. But I seriously doubt it, and I don't really. I wouldn't understand it. And obviously, Lee putting a 5% chance on it, he doubts it as well.
Oh, one guy we haven't mentioned. I believe he's a UFA. Is Clinton McDonald?
Yeah, I think he'll come back.
I would like Clinton McDonald back on this.
Well, he had a good year last year. He was somewhat healthy, and he produced. To Swaggy, real quick. And Steve and I have referenced this before. After the final home game, a member of the football operations separately strong-armed Steve and I and scolded us about, oh, you're too negative about the offensive line. I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, at any rate, the same person I mentioned, this conversation came up, he was scolding me about writing negatively about the offensive line, and you guys don't know what you're talking. I was like, are you reading what we're writing, sir? We've never been that critical of the offensive line. You're mistaken with someone else. And I said, if you want me to, who I've been critical of is Swaggy Baker. And the guy took a deep breath, shook his head. He goes, I don't blame you.
Well, Steve, right on this podcast, am I making this up? But after about a month into the season, I asked the question, well, why is Baker starting ahead of Clinton McDonald? Why is he starting ahead of McDonald? The answer is, they spent money for Baker, and he was a targeted free agent, and they had to give him a shot. McDonald was better than him last year. Well, why do we see these things? Why?
Well, why do they have to give a guy a shot? Just because they paid him? I mean, the NFL shouldn't work that way. It does often, but the good teams, the really great teams, don't operate that way.
Not to mention, Steven, you'd agree with this. I believe, unless you start writing stuff down, McDonald's the anti-Baker in the locker room.
Absolutely.
He is the anti-Baker. He commands respect.
Oh, he commands a lot of respect. He puts in a lot of work. I'm going to say this about Clinton McDonald. I like Clinton McDonald, but I think they should move on from Clinton McDonald, and I'll tell you why.
Even as a third defensive tackle? If he was a third
I think they
guy.
Should move on, and I'll tell you why. Because McDonald, first of all, has missed 30% of his games since becoming a Buccaneer. He just misses games. And he's past 30 at this point. And he's the classic guy that you wave goodbye to and get a young body in here that you can develop and who's got live legs. And this is what you should do. But they didn't want to do that. And I think he's the classic guy you move on from. And I'm going to put this as a big red X on Jason Light. Fans aren't going to want to hear it. But basically what Jason Light did last season was he traded Akeem Spence for Swaggy Baker. And that was a big bust. Spence had 3 sacks. He was healthy up there. Well-liked in Detroit. He's coming back. He's got way younger. And
Lee, does keeping Clinton McDonald as one of your rotation guys mean that you don't add a young defensive tackle? I don't see where it's an either-or.
Yeah, I'm in Clinton McDonald fan club.
We're against you on this one.
The Bucks have an ancient defensive line. Ancient. They got to get younger, and you got to know when to get rid of guys. And I don't see Clinton McDonald as a key piece here.
McDonald
had a good season.
From getting a young guy.
McDonald had a good season.
Yeah, and he was healthy. I'm a McDonald fan, and just because you have him, that doesn't prevent you from going out and signing a younger guy or drafting a guy. That doesn't handcuff you in any way, shape, or form. They're going to move on from Swaggy 95%.
What it means
chance,
is you don't have to start a rookie defensive tackle. You can let him ease his way into the lineup, and that's not a bad thing, Steve.
I'm just saying, if I had to pick guys to move on from, right, McDonald would be the guy.
But you also understand the argument for keeping McDonald.
Absolutely. He's a good contributor. He gets hurt a lot. 5 sacks last year, good locker room guy. But the good locker room guys, quote-unquote, here's the thing, Ira. I don't forgive these quote-unquote good locker room guys for tolerating Swaggy Baker. They're not as good as we think they are if this guy was a waste product and dragging everybody down, and they allowed it to happen.
And it took to the next to last game.
Where was Clinton McDonald? Where was Robert Ayers? Sorry, they're not great locker room guys, in my opinion. That's just me. But they let the cancer fester and play and deal. Same thing.
And McDonald's got that Super Bowl ring, so that gives him the gravitas. How do you like that, Lee? That he could have chewed out Baker. He could have.
Robert Ayers could have. You know, more years in the league. Somebody who knew Baker for years, McCoy, more gravitas than Chris Baker. They all let it happen. So I don't let those guys off the hook.
So it took Quan Alexander. And next,
so
he
it seems.
Finally had enough.
So it seems. And if you remember, I pulled up the picture and ran it on Joe Bucks Fan with a different story. But you remember during the victory against the Jets, there was a blow up on the sideline when the Jets almost had a chance to tie the score at the end needlessly. Quan blew up at Baker and in the direction of Ayers. And Ayers appeared to be either protecting Baker or just telling Quan to shut up. And the Bucks won, and this happened like with 30 seconds left, and it was no big deal. They won, whatever. But, you know, there was a problem on that D-line last year.
Now, Lee, I got a quick question, Steve.
Sure.
Lee, here's what we think happened in Charlotte with the famous offside on 4th and 3. Yeah. And they end up losing the game in the final minute. That sounds familiar to Buck fans. So, Lee, what we think happened is Alexander took center stage. You had enough. And then Winston entered the fray. Now, Lee, knowing everything we know about the guys that are involved in this, whose side do you think Winston came down on? Is there any question that he was backing up Quan Alexander
Absolutely.
At that point? Or was he a peacemaker?
Oh, no, he was not a peacemaker. I had insinuations from two people directly involved in the incident. They didn't deny what happened. I spoke with an NFL player that is good friends with the player in the Bucks, told me exactly what happened. I've talked to a relative of a person who was in that fray. And when I went to two Bucks players, I'm going to name them, the day after the last game in the locker room, I asked them, off the record, this is what I heard. Neither one denied it. Well, I heard it specifically because I was listening to the radio show. Or Lavonnie David, you know, was trying to calm Quan down. Quan went after Baker. And what Jameis said in his press conference after when they was asked, I think Jenna asked him about the confrontation, and Jameis said, I did not confront Chris Baker. I joined in the conversation. That's exactly what happened. Quan was going after him, and Jameis basically said, go get him, Quan, the SOB. I'm cleaning it up. The SOB should have had his ass kicked long ago.
You agree with that, Steve, that was Winston?
Old news.
Temperament.
Look, this stuff happens in a matter of, 8 seconds, these blow-ups? So, I mean, it's all a bunch of hearsay. I think it's pretty straightforward that, obviously, they came down on Swaggy. He's the one who screwed up. And Quan apparently was at the forefront, and that's it, you know? Nobody was going to stand up and protect Baker. Nobody was throwing fists from anything.
What
I understand.
What about the fact that it was Alexander and not McCoy?
McCoy wants to be liked. That's the thing. McCoy.
You give McCoy a pass on that
thing? Fans want McCoy to be a certain type of personality. That's like me telling you, Ira, you should have red hair. His personality is his personality. You don't change your personality. He's a guy that wants. He's not that kind of guy. He never will be that kind of guy. And for Bucks fans who can't handle it, find another freaking team to watch. McCoy is McCoy.
I don't know. I don't really care on that front just because the only reason we even knew...
Well, it shows the dynamics of the locker.
Well, the only reason we knew this little glimpse from one game is because it was heard on the radio. Otherwise, this kind of stuff happens all the time. I mean...
No one would have known about it probably had it not been on the radio.
It happens in locker rooms all the time. People yell at each other and blame each other and bark at each other. So I don't even think it was really that big a deal. But we got to see is that, Quan took the initiative there, but it took way too long. And, you know, who knows? But let me move to the guy who took the fall for this is Jay Hayes, right? So the D-line was bad against the run, bad against the pass. We know what happened with Jay Hayes. We talked about it last podcast, let go on Friday. Now, Rick Stroud, Ira, you're a former mainstream media comrade, Bucks beat writer at the Tampa Bay Times. He was on his podcast on their newspaper website. He was adamant the other day that the Buccaneers, in fact, are paying Jay Hayes for the 2018 season. They renewed his contract with the rest of the coaches and then mysteriously decided to fire him. Now, we debated this last time, but if we take Stroud on his word that he's 100% sure and he went out of his way to say that's the deal, how does that shape your opinion of the situation? For me, it means that somebody really bungled it this big time.
So that means he's saying that sometime after the season, They gave him a contract extension?
They renewed all the assistant coaches, including Hayes, and then they fired him.
That's dysfunctional. That's dysfunctional. That's too many cooks in the bath.
Too many cooks in the bath.
I said something happened. I'm sticking with that.
You got lobsters. In the bath.
Something happened, Lee. I mean, it's dysfunctional.
Are you insinuating something untoward happened with Jay Hayes? Something weird happened from one buck that it was embarrassing?
Either that or another voice came down saying, you know, I don't care if this guy's on the contract or not. We got to move on.
Well, I know what you're insinuating there, and I smell the same thing.
It looks like a team that looks like the Trump White House. And we're not going to get into politics, but we see what's going on there.
People, so far, so good in my eyes.
We're not going there. January 5th, you extend the man, and February 10th, you dump him? Explain that, Lee.
It's odd.
Odd seems a little benign.
Well, it's a gigantic money.
I'm trying to be polite, Ira.
It's a gigantic flush of the Glazers' money when
Mike Baker wasn't.
When you consider that they just raised ticket prices, and you just hired a coach probably.
Somebody's got to pay for Hayes' salary.
Yeah, I was doing a little research. You probably paid Hayes in the neighborhood of $600,000. And then all of a sudden, see you later. Something's very odd. I don't even know.
That's 20,000 a sack over there at the Kemper.
Ira, 30,000 a sack. Where's your math?
You're supposed to be good at math.
You're supposed to be good at math,
Ira. 30,000.
Very dysfunctional. That's really the perfect word, dysfunctional. I mean, come on. And they still don't have a guy hired, which lets you know that they didn't necessarily have a guy 100% in place.
And there's no reason to believe that Hayes did something wrong in the last 6 weeks. I mean, in terms of a DUI or something, there's no reason to believe that. We haven't heard anything about that.
Well, we don't know. I mean, we don't know. Yeah, I'm not going to say because
I scour the police reports over there.
Yeah, but I mean, we don't know. Again, we don't know. We have no idea. I'm going to say something, but I don't want to get sued. But
it could be personal in nature, but we just don't know. Now, what we do.
And he could have barked at Cutter, like, don't pin this blankety blank on me, blankety blank blank.
Now, wait a minute.
We don't know. We have no idea.
Let's go back to basics here for 1 minute, Steve.
I hope actually what Lee said, I hope that's true, because if Dirk Cutter just somehow was sitting around with Mike Smith in the end of January and said, you know what? Man, these guys are way worse than we thought after looking deeper. That would be pure dysfunction. I hope it's the case that Lee is insinuating that maybe it's personal.
How come the three of us knew that in December 11th? Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is,
it's just a mess.
The decision to extend Hayes' contract, that has to come from Dirk Cutter. That's not coming from Jason Leiter or the Glazers.
You don't think so?
Well, to extend.
Well, don't the Glazers have to approve it?
Well, you can approve it, but Cutter has to be on board. Cutter has to be the driving force.
Sure.
It's his stamp.
Yeah, the Glazers aren't attached to a D-line coach.
Yeah. So if Cutter didn't want it to happen, it wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen on January 5th.
Yeah.
So my point is, Cutter's on board on January 5th. He's driving this train. And then February 10th, there's a major change. That's the problem.
Well, the thing, and this is the sad thing, but it's true. The absolute silence comes from one buck. Complete and total silence, and one of my favorite Mike Florio lines, invites speculation.
Invites. Nice.
It is mind-boggling that we've heard nothing from one buck. I mean, consider that Jason Light, he issued an official statement when Deshaun Jackson's friend allegedly took his car without permission and had a car accident. Now, and if that drew an official statement from the Bucks when some guy unconnected with the Bucks had a car accident.
Just a car accident.
And meanwhile, you fire a coach and it's strange circumstances and you hear crickets. That's very, very odd.
A one car accident that hits a tree and they have to issue a press release. But you get rid of a well-respected veteran coach and nothing.
There's also been no release confirming that he's gone.
No, nothing.
And as of
confirmation is Monday morning they pulled his profile. Jay Hayes' profile off Buccaneers.com. Sunday night it was there. Sunday night, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm working, and it was still there.
So Ira, to start turning the page on Jay Hayes here. My biggest question would be to you then, what sort of defensive line coach are you looking for? What do you think complements this staff? I mean, Hayes, whatever you know about Hayes, where did that go wrong? Do we need a better communicator? Do we need a guy who's better with young players?
I think that's the key. I think that's the key because this D-line is going to look very different in terms of roster next year. If it doesn't, we're all in a lot of trouble. Some veterans are going to be gone. They're going to be jettisoned. The draft's going to be heavy on D-line. Free agency, obviously, targeting D-line. There could be three new guys in here, and most of them are going to be young. And I think that's the key. Draft and develop. We haven't seen that around here very often in a lot of areas. Draft and develop. been some success on the offensive line with Marpet and Donovan Smith in that regard. Maybe a Pamphile.
Beninock. Can't forget Beninock.
I haven't seen enough. Small sample size, Steve. Draft and develop. Lee, that's what the good teams do.
Sure.
And that's what I think the Bucs have been lacking for a long time.
Well, you know what?
Maybe for a decade.
I want to say positive things about Beninock. I think there's something to work with there. You know, for the people that scream bloody murder about the offensive line, the Bucs offense played its best in the month of December, and the Bucs were down three starters. Now, you could say maybe they shouldn't have been starting in the first place.
Yeah, Beninock played a little better than I thought he would.
Yeah, guys. So the people that are screaming about offensive line – the evidence is not there that it's horrible. I'm sorry. I'm not saying it's the 76 Raiders, but there's bigger holes.
For you, it all comes back to 22, number 22.
You set me up, I'll go ahead and hit another park. I hate to be repetitive, but every defensive coordinator's goal is to make the opposing offense one-dimensional. And the Bucs offense, before the Singer finished with the Star-Spangled Banner, was one-dimensional because Dirk Koetter, for whatever reason, was adamant that Doug Martin was his bell cow.
And that's why Izbitz was equally adamant a year ago that they should not bring Martin back. Bring him back.
I don't know who was more adamant, Steve or I. We banged that drum daily.
Turns out you were right, Steve.
Sage, look, right. Here we go. Now, one thing that was very telling,
I'm trying to give you a compliment here, Izbitz. You might as well take it. You're not going to get too many.
Thank you, Ira.
Write it down,
thank
Steve.
There you go.
So, Ira, one last thing on Jay Hayes that was very telling. I wrote something on Joe Bucs Fan that, of all the Buccaneers defensive linemen on social media, Ryan Russell, Noah Spence,
McCoy,
Gerald McCoy, Clinton McDonald,
Swipe,
Robert Ayers, Chris Baker, all of them active on Twitter. Not a word, not a peep, not a positive message.
That's almost like kicking a guy on his way out the door.
Following the Jay Hayes firing, nothing.
Silence speaks volumes.
So
there.
It's not very difficult to put out something, good luck, Coach Hayes, or something like... appreciate
everything you've done.
Getting to know you, yeah. Coach Hayes, good luck.
Sorry to see you go.
Nothing. Not even Clinton McDonald, the man of great class, NFL Man of the Year candidate. Nothing. To me, that was extremely telling. Your sage wisdom, though, what do you think?
Sometimes it's all about the silence, Lee. Sometimes it's all about the silence. And in this case, the classy thing to do, you know, if you had a shred of benevolence towards Jay Hayes is good luck in your next stop, Coach, and thanks for everything you've done for me. He was here for 2 years. These guys that Steve talked about, they were here for the entire time, except for Baker, and zero. McCoy weighs in on everything.
Yeah, he does.
Including Marvel Comics.
Thank you.
So nothing from Hayes. You know, that doesn't mean that McCoy's the guy that instigated to get Hayes out of town. I'm not saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of funny that nobody sent out any kind of sympathetic note about Hayes.
To give some background about this, when Lovie Smith was run, Bucs defenders went crazy on social media.
And you lit a candle in celebration.
I didn't really celebrate it online. I celebrated it privately in my office at home. Thank God someone sees the light. But Bucs defenders, they were upset, and they took to social media, and they made their voices heard. When Mike Smith was retained last year, same thing. They rejoiced. Oh, man, this is great. He's coming back. Gerald McCoy being one of them. Jay Hayes, crickets. Crickets. And these guys are all active. They've active before Jay Hayes was run out. They're active afterwards. Nothing about Jay Hayes. Not
you
one
know,
thing.
You know, there's been some talk about the stunt thing that Hayes is doing, the this, the that, the particulars of the scheme. Could he do all that if Mike Smith's not approving it?
No, of course not. That's way overblown. Gerald McCoy also has freedom to call certain stunts and make some changes. And Mike Smith's the guy in charge, so I don't want to hear any of that.
Well, here's one for you, Ira. I want your feedback on this. Could Jay Hayes, we have no idea why he was let go. Could it be that Jay Hayes told Mike Smith, look it, man, these stunts you want me to run ain't getting the job done. And bye-bye.
Hayes has to know if you say something like that, you're taking a big chance.
Well, you're not taking a big chance if you've already been paid for the 2018 season. So we'll leave it at that on Hayes. Now, Ira, probably the biggest thing that concerns me that I really, when I go into that shower and I get into deep thought.
Too much information.
Do you
Is it a walk-in shower? What kind of shower?
Way
is
too
it?
Much information.
Do
Don't start talking about tubs and.
Is there a tub or is it a shower only? I mean,
what kind of soap he uses?
Fans want to know the details. Here,
I typically go into one that actually has a tub. So.
What's one thing Bill O'Reilly talked about with the shower, the oomfa or whatever the hell it was?
The loofah.
The loofah sponge. Loofah sponge.
So what are you thinking about when you're in that shower?
No, just bottom line is, does Jason Light, does he have the ability in his core to draft and to approach free agency with the long-term interest of this franchise? Or is he basically stuck, and will he be stuck, on short-term only and the rest of this franchise 2019-20 and beyond be damned?
Boy, that's a whole podcast, Steve. I can't believe you brought this up towards our tail end. This is a recurring theme, Lee. It's a big one. It's a big question. For example, you didn't say this, but I'll say for example, would the Bucks package some draft picks in an effort to move up in round one or round two to target one particular player that might have a big impact in 2018? But the flip side is you're giving up assets. You're giving up draft picks. Lee, I think what's behind Steve's question, and it's a very good one, is it's kind of dangerous with the dynamics that are going on at One Buck Place in terms of it better happen in 2018. There's a flip side. Yes, you get a sense of urgency. Maybe Cutter runs a tougher training camp, stuff like that, which wouldn't necessarily be a negative.
Exactly.
But the flip side, from Jason Light's perspective, is you're the GM. You're supposed to think long term. The coach thinks short term. You think long term. Checks and balances.
Exactly.
Is that gone now, Lee?
Yeah, because it's gone.
They picked up Light's option, but not an extension, Lee.
Essentially, he's on a prove it contract.
Show me, right? Show
he's
me.
On a show me contract, just like Cutter and the coaching staff is. That's why I'm not saying, no one's told me this is going to happen, but I have to believe conversation I've had in years past with heavy hitters with the Bucks off the record. I have to believe that somehow or another, Barkley falls to number four, Light's on the phone with Cleveland. I have to believe that. Not saying their trigger will be pulled, but I have to believe that.
Well,
because Barkley will give you an immediate impact. I know Steve made the point, it's not an incorrect point, that Chubb, if you get Chubb and he gives you six sacks, that's still an improvement. That's not a franchise-changing result. If Barkley comes in, and I've talked to Mayock, you know, people are throwing the name Ezekiel Elliott around with Barkley. If he's that kind of running back, that changes your franchise.
I understand that, but Steve, I want to hasten to add, and Buck fans should know this. Even a so-called little move from 7 to 4, that will cost you the 7th pick, a 2nd-round pick, and a 4th-round pick. Do you want to give that up?
It'll cost you more than that.
Or more than
to move
that.
Up three spots.
Three spots.
Yeah. That means turning the franchise around and making the playoffs? Hell yes.
But, what about long-term, Lee?
But here's the problem.
They shouldn't be thinking long-term. This franchise has been thinking long-term since Chucky was gone. And it's about time people start thinking about now.
I think the problem with that, I agree with Lee, but I think the problem is I don't see a reason in the world why Cleveland would trade. They've got a crap load of draft picks. They've got
all kinds of money.
A brand-new general manager who knows what he's doing. They've got a lot of talent in certain spots. They desperately need a running back, and they see that franchise changing ability.
Sure. I'm just saying if Barkley would fall.
Right.
You know, there's a run on quarterback.
Yeah, so. I just don't think – I'm trying to imagine why Cleveland would do that, and I don't think they would do that.
The reason we're talking about, someone wants Baker Mayfield, let's say the Jets, and you know, guy had too many beers. And like, you know, we'll give you four first round, you know, whatever. We don't know. We
you know. You know who's going to weigh in on this whole philosophy?
No, I understand that. I'm just saying –
the guys who pay the bills.
Because Cleveland isn't stupid anymore, and they have so many picks, they've got an end. They got this is the year they got to use those.
Don't discount who's cutting the checks in Cleveland. He's a clown.
All right, but Steve, my point is, in terms of these things with short term and long term, the Glazers weigh in on this.
Sure,
and it has to pass the Glazer test.
I'll ask you, Ira. Again, I've talked to Mayock, talked to other people. They've invoked Ezekiel Elliott when they talk about Barkley.
They got three Pro Bowl offensive linemen in front of them.
Which would you rather have, Doug Martin or Barkley? Come on now.
I'd rather have three Pro Bowl offensive linemen.
And
an okay running back.
You know, well,
I would.
See, I'm wanting a difference maker. A difference maker like Barkley. You're talking about this offense. Why was the offense so good a couple years ago? Martin ran for 1,200 or 1,100 yards, right?
Lee, if you're going to make a move up like that, this guy better be Adrian Peterson. He better be Adrian Peterson.
Oh, sure. You know, Light, if not Cutter, are damned if they do and damned if they don't. If they don't get a good running back and the offense sputters, they're in a rough division, they're probably out of a job.
I didn't say don't pick up a running back. I say don't move up for and give up the farm for one guy. That's all I'm saying. It's an excellent question, Steve. It may be the question. Obviously, nobody can deny Cutter and Light are in a show-me year, Lee. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, they need wins.
That's a lot of pressure. You know, families are involved. The whole coaching staff's their future's involved. There's going to be sweeping changes at One Buck Place if things don't work out this fall. I don't think I'm saying anything cataclysmic here. There's going to be sweeping changes. That appears to be the way things are set up. If things don't work out, yeah. Lee. You know, and I'm talking about 6-10. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Even on the draft, the Glazers, obviously, you know that they weigh in on the number one pick.
They do.
And they might, you know, we know they talk to consultants. They might be anti a Barkley or a running back. Not a Barkley, period, but just a running back in general. They might not like that. You know,
I've seen some skeptics about Barkley, and I've seen a lot of people that say he is a difference maker.
Oh, there's always going to be skeptics about you pick a name. There's always going to be skeptics. You know, the guys that make a living at the draft, they ooh and ah about the guy. So.
I think one thing that's very much in the Bucks' favor, finally, something in the Bucks' favor, they're not looking for a quarterback, and a lot of teams are. That bodes well for the top of the draft.
That does help.
It helps them. It definitely helps them.
It certainly can't hurt, and I'd certainly feel better about Jason Light's prospects if he had more picks. So I'd be all in favor of them trading down if something is there that makes sense for them, just because he's good in the draft. So give a guy who's good in the draft more picks, not fewer picks.
Isn't it nice, Lee, that we're at this point, at least for now, that we're not talking about the Bucks and Kirk Cousins? Isn't that nice?
Isn't that nice? Yeah.
We're not talking about the Bucks and Case Keenum and Nick Foles. you know, that's
Sam
a positive.
Bradford.
That's a positive, Steve.
All right, Ira, on that exciting note of positive, come on, positive. I guess it's a positive, right?
Well, I say for now because Winston has not signed that second contract. They haven't offered it yet, and they want to see more.
And Uber.
And I don't blame them. And Uber. They want to see more, and I don't blame the franchise. Lee, do you? Have you made up your total decision about Jameis?
That's a major investment.
All right, Ira. Of course, as we embraced in the beginning of the podcast, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. We encourage everyone to head to their websites, EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com, EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. The red carpet sales events continue through February.
Now, wait a minute. Valentine's Day is come and gone. Are you saying these sales are still going to keep going?
President's Day, Ira. President's
There's
Day.
There's always something. Lee.
There's no Valentine's
There's
Day
something.
Event in the car business that I know of, Valentine's Day. But President's Day, a lot of great offers, especially Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. I actually got an interesting email from Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa specifically about a President's Day offer. Definitely check out their websites. Your podcast, Podbean, Google Play, iTunes. I showed you before, Ira, how dominant you are on iTunes, which is the top platform for podcasts. So kudos to you and everybody who loves your sage brand of wisdom.
I don't believe we missed a podcast in 2017. Am I correct? We did not miss one.
I don't think so. The year before, I think Lee and I did one for you from a Hooters in Tampa. But
I think we did two a week every week last year.
You've got good attendance, Ira. You are not the swaggy baker of the podcast world.
I mean, I don't have the bucket hat on, in February when, hey, by the way, we should mention, Lee's gearing up for Indy. He's going to be there. He's going to be our representative. He did a swell job at the Super Bowl. He broke a major story.
He's doing jumping jacks, sit-ups. He's getting ready.
Lee, kudos on your Ronald Darby question.
Well, I'll just say this. I see people are whining about so-and-so wasn't credited with Jay Hayes' story. Welcome to the club, pal.
I understand. and Buck fans should know that I believe Cutter and Light are both slated to speak in those first few days, and Lee will be up front and center asking some very intriguing questions.
They usually do speak, so hopefully that'll be the case. But you know what? There's been such a cone of silence around One Buck. Sometimes not all the coaches.
Wait a minute. Jason Light's got a video out, baby. He's got an award-winning video. You know, he showed so much Lee ability to improvise on that video. I'm surprised he's not going to be a very sought-after speaker on the guest circuit.
Oh, I thought you were going to suggest Spielberg is in contact.
One little piece of conspiracy theory, Ira, on that video. You know, Light talked about the young players of the Bucks, the draft picks, and the core. One guy who was not part of that video, the guy who played the most defensive snaps for the Bucks last year, a guy who was very impressive playing multiple positions, and a guy who has a, you know, was considered to have a core talent entering the league. It's second and first round talent. That was Kendall Beckwith. He was not included in that video, which could lend some speculation that Beckwith maybe he's a guy they'll try to dangle as a carrot. He would fetch a lot, maybe even with the 49ers, with now the whole Reuben Foster problem. Maybe Beckwith is a guy that they might consider moving for more picks or for help somewhere else.
Boy, you really, you scrutinize every morsel.
Well,
every morsel.
That's all we got.
There,
it's February, Ira, so I'm glad you enjoyed your lobster.
Well,
I know you're going to ice down after a rough night there.
Beckwith also could be a guy that they're looking to replace Levante David in 3 years at weak side linebacker.
Well, as Lee just said, as we just talked about, does 3 years really matter? Is Kendall Beckwith going to win it for this team this year? I don't think so, Sage. All right, Ira, so enough of that. Your food's here at Port Richey Hooters. We appreciate them hosting us. And mow down those wings you got there, Ira.
Next week, I'll tell you all about lobster night, gentlemen.
I don't want to hear it.